We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program today. My name is Bob Arthurs. We're going to spend the next half hour today talking about the Word of God. If you're looking for a person who is absolutely perfect, you probably just need to continue on looking down the dial. But if you want to look at the Word of God today and see what it's got to say to you and I, and what we can do to become better representatives of the kingdom of God, then we welcome you to join us on this journey. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. And we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. We've got a lot of exciting things that are coming up this summer. We're intending to continue to move forward, not just stay in place. Our normal looks is going to look new and improved, instead of just returning back to the same old paradigm that we were before. So if you're looking for a place to call your spiritual home and see if you can serve alongside of us, we'd love to have you come. We're two blocks north of 520. We're two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. We're two blocks south of Merritt Avenue and about two blocks east of Tropical Trail. And if we can be of service to you, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. And stay tuned to some other announcements that are coming up here in the days to come. We've got some scheduled disruptions that are going to be taking place, and we want to keep everyone informed of that as much as possible. So right now we are looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse number 13, and it says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I didn't talk about this on yesterday's program, but I want to let you know that word amen, it means so be it. So be it. And I pray that you and I will be very active and assertive in saying amen. It is our privilege to say amen to the promises that are in God's word. The promises of God are yes and amen. And a lot of there, I know that there are all sorts of different spiritual backgrounds, cultures that people come from. You know, there are some churches that are very quiet and very stoic. There are others that are more expressive and more exuberant. I believe that when you look at the Word of God, that you will see that the worship experience was meant to be an interaction, not just a monologue. So if you read in, I believe it's like Psalm 136, let me just turn back there. Psalm 136, and there's a whole bunch of things that are said in there. Well, Psalm 18 says it as well, Psalm 118. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever." So there was always supposed to be an interaction, and then you will see in Psalm 136, his mercy endures forever, his mercy endures forever, his mercy endures, just about every verse as you're going down there, calls for a response from people that ends with his mercy endures forever. In fact, it looks like it is. It's every verse has that response. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." when God speaks, there needs to be a response on our part. And one of those responses is amen. Amen is not the same as the end on a movie or at the end of a book where you just say, okay, this is where this ends or to be continued. It is where we have a declaration to make to God and say, you know what? We recognize that you're our Father in heaven, that hallowed is your name. Your name is holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's where we say amen to not being led into temptation. It is where we say, let it be so that we are delivered from evil. It is where we say amen to the fact that God's is the kingdom, that God has the power and God has the glory forever. It never, ever ends. So I saw something on Facebook, and I don't think this was real. I think this was Photoshopped, but it was someone who had set up a swing set. And, you know, swing sets, if you're on a swing, the further back you go, the further forward you go. And this swing set was built with just about a 2-foot gap in between the seat and the wall of a building. And you're never going to get anywhere very far if all you've got is a 18-inch to 2-foot margin in your life. And they said this is what 2020 has been like thus far. I want you to understand that when you and I are kingdom mindsetted, we have a kingdom mindset, that we do not see the circumstances and the challenges that we face the same way that other people do. We do not see the same limitations. See, whenever there is a demonic manifestation in the New Testament in Jesus' ministry, the devil, the demon, always left defeated and humiliated. So the more attacks, the more disruptions that there have been in your calendar year and in my calendar year, you know, besides all of that, we had a family change this last year. We've in the past few months, with my mother passing away, that's pretty disruptive. But when you're a believer, you say, you know what? God's kingdom is not going to end. His kingdom, his promises, his blessings don't end because I go through the valley of the shadow of death with him. It doesn't end because there's social disruption or there's abuse of power. It doesn't end there. Just because there's a problem that arises, the kingdom isn't overthrown that day. I just keep my eyes fixed on Jesus and say, you know what? He's going to bring us out of this situation with greater understanding, with greater compassion, with greater holiness and greater power, because it all belongs to him. So we're going to look a little bit at what the kingdom of God, what it looks like inside the kingdom of God. So I want to take you back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is the dedication of the temple. The dedication of the temple. And it had taken years for this temple to get built. It, in modern economic terms, the temple of Solomon cost over $1 billion for a building that really wasn't all that large. It wasn't much larger than what our church is. But there was a lot of activity. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, it says this: when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord, hold on just a second if you would. And the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God, and the priest attended to their services. The Levites also with the instruments of the music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, "For his mercy endures forever." And whenever David offered praise by their ministry, the priests sounded trumpets opposite them while all Israel stood. Furthermore, Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was in the front of the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat. At that time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly, from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. And on the 8th day, they held a sacred assembly, for they observed the dedication of the altar 7 days, and on the feast 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart for the good that the Lord David for Solomon and for his people Israel. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, "I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying, 'You shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel.' But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, and I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all the peoples. And as for this house, which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished, saying, 'Why has the Lord done thus to this land and this house?' Then they will answer, 'Because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all calamity on them.'" So let's begin to look at a number of these things in this passage that God says, "These belong to me. These belong to me." The first thing that I want to point out to you is in verse number 2. It says, "And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house." When I go to church, I realize that I'm the pastor, but it's not my house. It's God's house. There are a lot of people who rule God's house as if it is their house, and they rule it with an iron fist. And that's not what I want to do. I want to lead well, but I want to lead as a steward, not as an owner. I mean, it has been entrusted to my care, and I want to make the most out of each and every opportunity that the Lord gives me. But it is very important to remember that it is the house of the Lord. It's the house of the Lord. Now, here is a newsflash for you, and that is this. If you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, you are going to discover in reading the New Testament that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That just as Solomon had a temple and God said, "This is my house," he speaks over you and I spiritually as well and says that we are his house. It is not just a house that he owns, it is a house that he wants to occupy. It's very important that we remember this when we take into consideration, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It is because God is in the house. He is able to bind up the strong man. He is able to protect what is his. He is our sanctuary, our fortress, our refuge. He is on the scene. He is not an absentee God. He is an ever-present God. And so let's not live our lives neglecting God's house. The minor prophet Haggai, he said, look, y'all are living your lives in luxury and you are neglecting the house of God. When I came 27 and a half years ago to Merit Assembly of God, the first week we had my family and 6 people. The next week we had my family and 5 people. The next week we had my family and 4 people. And I remember locking up the building that day, and my prayer was this. I said, God, at the rate that we're going, in 4 weeks it is going to be my wife and kids and I don't know how long they're going to stick it out. And I prayed and I said, God, I feel like I have been thrust into the cockpit of an airplane that is in a nosedive and I don't know how to pull it out. I need your wisdom. I need to know what your strategy for Merit Assembly of God is, what our role is. And God spoke to me and he said, this is what I want you to do. And so for 27 and a half years, we have preached the word. We have loved people. And we have spent that time repairing the house of the Lord. We recognize that it is God's house. A lot of people have the saying, well, that's good enough for government work. And they bring that same mindset into worship and say, well, it's good enough for God. It's good enough for God. I've got a friend who pastors, and one of the people in his church has a saying, and he said, and his saying is this: the best is barely sufficient. The best is barely sufficient. This is God's house. God's house deserves our very best. It's not, again, it's not a house he just wants to own. It is a house he wants to occupy. And so I encourage you to recognize the house of God, not just as a place of worship that we gather on Sunday mornings and Wednesdays, but it is also our heart our life that he wants to occupy on a regular basis. If you look, you will see in verse number 2, the house of the Lord, and it's the Lord's house. In verse number 5, it says, so the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. In verse number 12, God says, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. So God's house is a house that he chose. He chose. And it is supposed to be a house of sacrifice. It is a place of spiritual worship. So when we come in, we need to recognize that God wants his house to be represented, that the worship in God's house is represented by people from all tongues, all tribes, all nations. So we cannot strictly limit God's house to people who just look like us or the same age as us. We need to recognize that everybody needs forgiveness. And so I remember that there was a time when I was very early in the pastorate, and people would say, well, what demographic is represented in your church? And you need to fixate on that. You need to focus on that. And I said, well, we have international representation. This is when we were under 20. We have international representation, and we have people from just about every demographic that you can imagine as far as chronological age. And I asked myself, why would I want to exclude anybody from having the privilege of hearing the gospel? At that point in time, did not make any sense to me, and it still does not make any sense to me as to why you would say, well, we are not going to reach this group of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ because we're going to focus on reaching this group. I want to reach everybody. Everybody needs forgiveness for their sins. Look, we live in a world that tends to say, you know what, you're okay and I'm okay. And the truth of the matter is, without Jesus, none of us are okay. And so we need to say, you know what, God, we are your house. The rest of the chapter, there are no more references to his house, but it is very important that we recognize that it is his house, that the house of God, it belongs to him, and it needs to represent him well. In verse number 10, it says, on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart for the good that the Lord had done for David, for Solomon, and for his people, Israel. Okay, even more important than his house are his people. And you will see that also down in verse number 14, or you'll see it in verse number 13. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Look at the conditions. There is no rain. There is an invasion of locusts. There is pestilence and disease that is going on amongst God's people. And God says, if my people. People are the greatest resource in the kingdom of heaven apart from God himself. Every person is valuable. Every person was created by God in the image of God. Every person was knit together magnificently by God in the womb. He numbered their days and chose this specific time as the time and the place that they were to live. So we need to look at people and treasure them and value them, because God says, those are my people. All you've got to do is read in the Bible and see that when God has made the designation of these are my chosen people, these are people that I'm walking in covenant with, that if someone violates that, there are serious consequences for touching or harming or doing injury to God's people. If you can look at somebody and say, that's not God's person, or that does not have the potential to be God's person, you need to read the Bible again, because there are people who, out of the least likely scenarios, became highly important people in the kingdom of God. There were Moabites that weren't supposed to have representation in the kingdom of God, who had representation in the kingdom of God and played important roles in the genealogy of Jesus because they were God's people. Ruth said to Naomi, I'm going to go where you go, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And became very, very important in the lineage of David coming to the throne. People looked at her. They didn't look at her as a Moabite. They looked at her as someone who was being a blessing to Naomi, who was walking in covenant, and realized that she was a solution to a potential problem. Let's not be superficial, and let's look at people with this mindset and says, you know what? Either they are already God's child, or they have the potential of being God's child. And so there is my people. And he says, here, if my people, well, you know what? We're going to run out of time today before I get too very far into this. But he says, if my people who are called by my name, if my people, which are called by my name, we have the potential of being agents of change to a deteriorating national condition. If we will say, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. I will tell you, in America right now, we need pastors, we need church leaders to say, you know what, God, we are your people. We are called by your name, and we're going to humble ourselves, and we're going to pray, we're going to seek your face. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.